We appreciate you joining us on the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And we thank you for being a part of the family here. Tell your family and tell your friends, if they don't listen, to make some time for us. We do appreciate it. As much time as you can listen. We'll get interactive with you after the bottom of the hour, give you a chance to get caught up on everything, and share some of your thoughts that maybe you haven't been able to share earlier on in the show. Glad to have Ian Thompson with us. If there's a guy who knows the inner workings of the NBA, it is Ian, and he joins us, author of The Soul of Basketball and more. I consider him quite an NBA insider. And Ian, I've got to ask you, on this eve of free agency now at 6 p.m. tonight, where teams have already been working these deals behind the scenes, Is it my perception is the NBA is run by the players more than any other professional sports league. You know the insider of this league very, very well. What is your assessment of it, seeing it up close and personal?
Oh, it is. The players have more power, for sure, based on their contracts, you know, the fact that you can't cut them the way you can in the NFL. And then in basketball, the great players have way more power on the court to influence the game, influence the championships, than, say, a baseball player. And in my book, John, I list, since Bird and Magic came into the league, all of the championships have been won by a few players in the NBA. If you don't have one of those players, you can't win. And just think about it. Michael Jordan with 6, or LeBron with 3, or Larry Bird with 3, or Magic with 5. You have to have one of those special players to win. It's because in basketball, they exert so much influence on the game at both ends of the court. Small court, they play 40 out of 48 minutes or whatever. Mike Trout doesn't have that influence in baseball. Dan Marino didn't have that influence in football, but the great players do. And so it extends what they're able to do on the court, extends off the court. They're so influential. There's such demand to get those players because they win you championships, that they end up having all this bargaining power off the court. It really is kind of a seamless thing.
What does the New York Knicks as a franchise do if they don't land one of the big fish and get somebody to come and take their money? Because that is part of this deal. You've got to convince somebody to come and take your money.
So, I mean, we can talk about what they will do and what they should do, and what they should do is think about why they can't get players to play there and why they can't win. They've been the losingest team in James Dolan's run as owner. And why is that? Why did their best player, Porzingis, demand a trade most recently? So if they can't get anybody this time, after failing in the year 2010 when LeBron went to Miami and nobody wanted anything to do with the Knicks back then too, what they ought to do is really take a hard look at what they're doing and just clear house and start over all again with somebody that they can count on, but keep the owner out of it. And none of that's going to happen. None of that's going to happen. So what do they do? I have no idea, because I just don't – if they're not able to get Durant or one of these other guys to come, I just don't know what a good plan is for them, because I just don't think they're capable of executing it, no matter what they do.
Now, isn't it, as you look at how the landscape could change in 24 to 48 hours in the Eastern Conference, the Sixers are a team that purposely, as a franchise, lost 3 years averaging 16 wins over 3 years. I mean, they purposely went out and tanked, thought that was the best way to build their franchise. And I'm looking at it that maybe by Wednesday, we could be talking about the Sixers battling to even have one of the four best teams in the Eastern Conference.
They could, or if they keep both guys, if they keep Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, and let's say Kawhi Leonard leaves to go out to L.A., now we're talking about the Sixers having a real chance. This is one of those things that we've heard a lot about what's going to happen now. We already know Kemba Walker's coming. We know of different signings and all that. The Sixers are a real wild card here because Jimmy Butler is just so unpredictable, and no one knows what's going to happen. Are the Houston Rockets really going to have a chance at Jimmy Butler, even though they're all capped out? You hear about him with the Lakers. You hear about him with all sorts of players, and he was really kind of running their team during the playoffs. And so if they lose him, I don't know what their identity is as a team. I don't know how they're going to play. I don't know what chance they're going to have. If they keep him and Kawhi leaves, and you've got Kyrie Irving and Al Horford leaving the Celtics, now all of a sudden we're looking at a Sixers team that ought to be the favorites to get to the finals next year. So we're really talking about black and white kind of thing, and all or nothing kind of thing with them.
If I gave you LeBron and Anthony Davis, or a healthy Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, which tandem do you want to build around?
Great question.
Because, I mean, we could see one building, we could see Staples Center, have the two of those franchises playing in that building. Talk about must-see TV.
I guess I would go with LeBron and Anthony Davis for now, just because of the track record and believing that those two guys will play well together. Whereas Kawhi and Kevin Durant, I don't know how well they'll play together. I don't know how well they would play together. And plus, you said a healthy Kevin Durant, but we both know, John, that may never be the case. He may never be quite the player he was before.
Sure.
So I think I would probably go with those two. And what's really interesting to me is this idea of if Kawhi Leonard meets with the Lakers, and apparently he's going to do so, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis really are sitting in on that meeting. For months, it has looked like the Lakers have been dysfunctional. And all of a sudden, I'm just thinking about those two guys sitting in a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. And is that going to be difficult for Kawhi Leonard to say no to that? Is that going to be the best meeting he takes? Or is this a guy that walked out on Greg Popovich already and you really can't convince him of anything? I don't know, but that's a really, really intriguing thing to me, this idea that LeBron could go in and say, look, I'm going to be the creator. I'm going to turn you on. It's not going to be my team. It's going to be your team. A little bit what Kevin Garnett did when he came to Boston and said it's Paul Pierce's team.
Sure.
So there's a lot going on there, and it's just so interesting to me over the years how the NBA offseason has become arguably as intriguing as the real season.
Where is the best way to get the soul of basketball? Because I know a lot of people are heading to the beach. Might be a really good read, I would figure.
I appreciate it. Yeah, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places. Thank you.
There you go. Get a little bit of the insight. Ian, I appreciate your time as always, man. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, John.